Well, we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Again, we're going to be having our Christmas program. The kids have been preparing their hearts and their verses. We have several talented pianists as well. So we're really looking forward to that. I appreciate the energy and the effort that went into that whole thing. We will be having Kids Club this Friday night, 6:30. It'll be here, and several have suggested that perhaps we should be introducing a teen time for Kids Club. I'd like you all to pray about that and figure out what's the best way for us to potentially do that. We had a large number of teenagers out at the last Children's Kids Club, and it was very, very encouraging. So that'll be this Friday night at 6:30. And then on the 20th at 4 o'clock, we'll be having our Christmas party at the Thibodeau Mansion. We'll be singing carols starting at 4 o'clock outside, and then we'll come back. It's always way too much food that tastes way too good, and then some good singing and a devotional from God's Word. So a great event to come to celebrate the holidays. Also a great event to potentially bring some friends out who don't know the Lord and are potentially interested in meeting other Christians, maybe even meeting the Savior. We will be preaching the gospel there. So, all right, now, this morning, the Lord's put something on my heart that is not me. The Lord wants me to read a bunch of names in the Bible from the genealogies, and you all know how comical that is when I read through those names. Also, there's an aimlessness to the message. Not quite sure where it's going to end up. So we will be getting back to our studies in 1 and 2 Kings in January, but today, I'm wondering if you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. And what I want to do is talk to you about the mystery or the secrets of Christmas. The mystery or the secrets of Christmas. There's a mystery about Christmas. An intrigue. A stealthlessness in the scriptures. We have hidden messages in ancient prophets that some understood and some didn't. We had a birth under the cover of night's darkness in Bethlehem. There's political intrigue as the wise men and Joseph and Mary have to escape Herod's secret police who are out to kill. There's a massacre that takes place at this time. Mysterious visitors and signs in the heavens. Why does God enshroud this thing that we call Christmas in these mysterious ways? Paul will tell Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness when God was manifest in the flesh, when God was seen of angels. And what I want us to do this morning is to take a look at the secrets of Christmas or the mystery of Christmas. And to do that, in general, I read from one piece of the scriptures and then I go to one other piece so we don't flip around. But today we're going to flip around a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, not a bad thing to do when you come to church to bring your Bible, all right? When you go to church, most people go to church to hear a priest or a pastor speak. But here at Bethany Gospel Chapel, we believe that where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, that the Lord is actually here. And that the Lord uses people like me and other preachers to speak. And so we encourage you to bring your Bible and to follow along because we want you to hear the Lord's voice, not to hear my voice. I might be thinking about something and speaking about something, and the Lord has something else for you. And this is a moment where we want you to hear His voice. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. There are Bibles in the back there if you want to read them. But I would like to read a couple passages. And first, I'd like you to turn to this passage in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 9 through 18. And again, in my aimless way here, I'm not going to necessarily speak about this, but I want you to see the cloak of mystery that surrounded the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is about the wise men. After, verse 9, after they heard King Herod, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and in myrrh. Verse 12. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So right away, this intrigue comes into the story. And they return to their country another route. They are escaping a different way. Verse 13, and when they had gone, an angel of the Lord then appeared to Joseph and said, get up. He said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up and he took the child and his mother, Mary, during the night under the cloak of darkness so that they couldn't be seen, so they could be unnoticed. That's going to be a theme that we talk about, the unseen and the unnoticedness of life here as we aimlessly try to go through these pieces here. They left Egypt and they stayed there until the death of Herod, and so it was fulfilled as the Lord had said through one of the prophets, again, a prophet who spoke centuries ago, hinted at this, out of Egypt have I called my son. And then the rest of the story is about the tragic massacre as the police came and they could not find the baby, but they massacred all of those young babies, 2 years of age and younger, hoping to stop this life, hoping to stop this birth, hoping to stop the coming of the seed, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, we have a list of names. We also have a list of names in Luke chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 1, it is a genealogy of Christ, a list of names that trace back who Joseph was related to. And in Luke chapter 3, we have a different list of names. It is the list of names that Mary was, where Mary came from, Mary's lineages, two lists of names. And in the stealthiness and in the mysteriousness of Christmas, here in Matthew chapter 1, these names are fairly famous. Where the names in Luke chapter 3 are quite unfamous, lives that were unseen by the world and perhaps unnoticed. Why would there be two lists? One with this very public, here's where the Lord came from, and one that was so private that people missed. They totally missed. And it must have taken Luke some time to uncover that list of those secret names in his book of Luke. Let's just go into Matthew chapter 1 right now, and I want you to notice how many names you're going to recognize. Now, if I were preaching in the 1960s, you would know a lot of these names. I'm preaching right now in the 2020s, and the devil has done a great job of keeping young people from learning this book. Even in evangelical churches, where they quote-unquote preach the gospel, the Sunday schools there don't even teach the kids the books of the Bible, and they're using programs and syllabuses that are put together that emphasize the surface of the truth, but you never get into the details. No one learns about Rehoboam. No one learns about Elijah. No one learns about Elisha. No one learns about the stories that are found in the book of Don. They'll teach the kids those, and the devil's done a great job of even taking this famous list in the book of Matthew and making it, I don't know these names. And then you might be here today, and I'm going to read some names. You're like, that's a famous name? And I'm going to say, yes, but the devil's done a good job. If you're a young person here, you need to dedicate your life to the study of God's Word. I want you to be the best dentist you can be, and you got to study that. I want you to be the best engineer that you can be, because I want to walk into your buildings and make sure they don't collapse on me. I want you to be the best. You need to read a lot of things. And this world says these things are important. The most important thing you need to know is God's Word. Not what the world says about things. There's value in knowing what the world... Amen. 15 minutes a day. You get a copy of the Bible in a translation that you can read, and you start to read it. You read 3 chapters a day and 5 chapters on the weekend. And you get into a process where every year you've gone through the Word of God twice. Well, I've read it once before. I don't mean... It's a living book. That thing on dentistry is a dead book. You read it once and nothing really changes. Nothing changes in the Word of God, but the Spirit of God is able to take this book and at your maturity level have it an impact. And at 15, it's going to have an impact. And then at age 20, it's going to have an impact in a different way because it's a living book and it can apply itself to your need in your life. And at age 63, it has an impact. I've never seen that before, even though I've read through this book, not a lot, but a lot. Oh my goodness, it's a living word. That needs to be a part of doing life, just like breathing, just like going to the doctors for physicals, just like having a healthy diet. You, a human being on this planet, needs to be reading the Word of God. You can download an app on your phone and you can set up a program where it sends you something to read every single day. You can get into the Word of God. So that when we come to passages like Matthew 1 and I read out some names, it's not, what? This passage in Matthew chapter 1 has famous names. Verse 2, Abraham. We know Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. Judah. In the next passage, there is Tamar. How many of you know who Tamar is? Very famous woman in the Bible. All right? Famous woman in the Bible. Then there's some names here down in verse 5. Boaz. And those of you who are aware of the book of Ruth know that he was Ruth's husband. Boaz, Obed, Ruth. In verse 6, Jesse. And then there's David. Hopefully all of us know the famousness of David. And then the next couple of verses here are the great kings that we've been studying about in the book of Kings. These were public people. These were all people that were supposedly being the source of the lineage of the great Christ of God that was coming. In other words, if you could take these people out, theoretically, you could stop the living Christ from being born. And there are many times in the scriptures, the story of Tamar is the story of the devil's first attempt to try to destroy the line of Christ. And if he had been successful there, the line of Christ would have been broken. And he wasn't successful there. In the story of David's life, David... Several times there were those who sought to destroy him and to kill him. They were unsuccessful. The Lord was preserving his line. In this next section here, famous names. Notice, historians know about them. Even if they're not believers, they know about them. We have in verse 6, Solomon. In verse 7, Rehoboam. No. There was a time when everybody knew about Rehoboam. But the devil's done a good job of keeping us in the dark here. We know about him. We studied him here at the chapel, all right? Verse 8, Jehoshaphat. Some of us, right, remember the name Jehoshaphat. Again, famous name here. Verse 10, Hezekiah and Manasseh and Josiah. These are very famous kings. Josiah's grandmother wanted him killed. At that moment in time, the line of Christ was threatened there. And yet the Lord preserved that line here. When you get to that verse 11, then you get to verse 12, and you have a list of names of men that we don't read about in the Bible because they are born and live during the Babylonian captivity. And so this list, Zerubbabel, Eliakim, and others, we come down to verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So the Lord Jesus' grandfather was named Jacob. There's a nice little fact for you to learn there. That was Joseph's father. And so we have this list here. This is the list that everybody expected to see, the list of the lineage of Christ through Joseph. But then, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 3, we have another list. And this is the list that is interests me the most. Starting at verse 21, we'll start reading. This list is the list of names. And at the beginning, at one part of the list, we're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to see Obed, and we're going to see Boaz. We're going to see David. But all the names from David on are totally unseen. Unseen lives. Unnoticed. Silent in the pages of history. Why would the Lord cloak the lineage of Mary in such mystery? That's the question that I have here. Again, to make sure that you pay attention, the Spirit of God has decided to list the names in Luke in the opposite order of Matthew, okay? So in Matthew, you went from Abraham all the way to Christ. Now in this one, it's going to go in the opposite direction. It's going to go Christ all the way down to Abraham. And in the first couple verses here, look at how the Lord kind of codes this list and alerts you to what he's trying to do. When all the people were being baptized, verse 21, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying. Heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. There's the clue. This is not the lineage of Joseph. So it was thought of Joseph. This is the lineage of Mary. Both parents of the Lord Jesus were related directly to David. What are the odds of that possibly happening? Well, with God, all things are possible. And Joseph's list was out there for all to see, and many of those names were constantly under attack. But Mary's list was kept private and secret. It's as if the enemies of the Lord didn't even realize that the Lord had another list running, because his prophecy was not the seed of the man would crush the heel of the serpent, but the seed of the woman. Mary's genealogy was the most important, and the devil totally missed it. We have here names like in verse 23, Heli and Mattah, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Elshi, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Matthias, the son of Simon, the son of Joshek, the son of Joda, the son of Joanna. Was that better, Carol? No, it wasn't. The son of Resha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shentil, the son of Neri. Those are all the names of Mary's relatives in what we call the silent years after the Babylonian captivity. And then we have a whole bunch of names of her relatives that were from Babylon. We have, in verse 26, Joshua, Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattiah, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jornim, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David. And then from David on, all the names are identical to Matthew's. The name to circle on this list, the key to the whole thing, is Nathan. Nathan. David had several sons.
Which verse is the son of David?
It is verse 31. 31? Yes, 31. Nathan. David had several sons. The most famous of them was Solomon. Solomon is mentioned in Matthew's list. But the son that was the most important of David is only mentioned once in the scriptures. Here and one other version, Nathan. This is the unnoticed life. This is the unseen life. This is the mysterious link in the whole Christmas story. Turn to, if you would, keep your fingers here, and turn to 2 Samuel. And I know we're going to be flipping around, which is normally something I don't like to do, but hey, we're going to do it. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I want you to see this man's such an important life, the key to the lineage of the Lord Jesus, and his one reference in all of the scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 14. And it says here, starting in verse 13, after David left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem. More sons and daughters were born to him. These are the names of the children born to him there in Jerusalem: Shammah, Shobed, Nathan, Solomon, and the list goes on. That's the only reference to Nathan in all of the scripture, besides the genealogy of Mary. But his life was so important, unseen and unnoticed. And yet, I wanted to try to read as many of those unseen names as possible, because the Lord saw every life, and the Lord knew how to pronounce and knows how to pronounce every single name properly, and will make sure those names are given their place in the proper moment in time. A list of hidden and secret names. Lists of names. So let's aimlessly wander into Revelation. The book of Revelation and chapter 20. The book of Revelations and chapter 20. I might not know much about those names in the book of Luke. I know something about the names in the book of Matthew, but I don't know anything about the names in the book of Luke. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows everything that person did in his entire life. And that person is going to have his day publicly when his life is being displayed. Another reading of names in Revelation chapter 20 and starting in verse 11. And I saw the great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And the earth and the sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw
the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and hell gave up its dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then, we'll stop there for a second. Every one of us is going to stand before God someday. And what might seem to you, my life is unseen. My life is unnoticed. I'm just on a list. No one knows who I am. This is a scary part of the scripture, but there's some wonderful truth in the scripture. God sees every part of your life. And God is going to review your life before Him. And all you've done is going to be reviewed, and there will be some things that God will say. You helped build that hospital. You were kind to those people. All of those deeds are going to be rightly reviewed for all to see. Your life is going to be laid open before the Lord. The Lord wants you to be a good person. The Lord wants you to do good things. And your deeds, some of them are bad, some of them are good, are going to be thoughtfully and carefully evaluated. You understand that. You are going to stand before God one day. But here's the problem. Hold on. Gotcha. Hold on. Here's the problem. The Bible teaches us that there is something called sin. There is transgression. That mankind often does a deed that is in violation of God's holy law. And one sin on that list, and there are many on my list, and there are many on yours, one sin on that list must be judged with eternal punishment. Amen. And so, yes, all of your deeds in life will be reviewed, and the sin that you have and I have, that we thought might have been secret or hidden, it'll all be uncovered there. Each one of us, our lives, those lives in Luke chapter 3, though it looks like names, which we don't know much about, God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me. And one sin, just one, is enough to damn mankind to the lake of fire and to hell. He cannot allow any sin in His holy heaven. Amen. Heaven is established for you and for me. He wants each one of us to be there. And He has sworn and He's promised, when you come to my heaven, it's going to be perfect forever. And one of the secrets for why that happens is sin cannot be there. And so, there is a list of names here. But you remember, there were two books. Praise God for the second book. Did you catch that? There were two books. He said here, and in verse 14, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second one. If anyone's name was not found written in the second book, the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. There's two books. The one book with all our deeds, including our sins. And then there's this second book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And there are people today who want to hope they've been good enough so that they can, when they stand before God someday, their good deeds will outlast their bad deeds, and God will let them in. And they are hoping that they can get into heaven because they've been righteous, because they've been holy, because they've been good. And the writer here in Revelations is saying, There is none that will ever be able to pass that standard. What are we going to do? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world.
Amen.
He knows the issue. He knows that none of us, if our names are just counting in that first book, we none of us stand a chance because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
His plan is not somehow to cover up what's in the first book. That's your life. That's your record. But in the second book, the Lamb's Book of Life, the names that are written there are the names of the men and women who have claimed Christ as their Savior, who have decided it's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but it's according to his righteousness. And that my salvation and my eternal life is going to be based on him and him alone.
Amen.
It is good news. It is gospel. You today can claim the forgiveness of Christ.
Amen.
And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And only those names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be allowed into God's hand.
Yes.
That's how God purifies his heaven. And he has offered that. What a gift at Christmas time.
Amen.
Think about that. What do you think about your life right now? Think about it. It's pretty righteous. Pretty holy. You can have the righteousness of Christ as your gift now.
Amen.
That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to turn your life over to Christ. I'm sorry, young people, if we confused you with all of our platitudes and all of the ways we've talked about these things in religious ways. I get it. It's really simple. The gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift. You must receive it and make it yours. You can receive it right now as you're listening to me. A simple prayer to the Lord. I want your righteousness. I do not want to stand before you one day in my righteousness. Every one of us can be honest. I don't want that. I want your righteousness. I want to be clothed in Christ. You receive that gift right now as we're speaking. And that's the greatest gift you've ever had at Christmas. The greatest gift. The list of names here, we've been thinking about this list of names here. And how light the Lord sees life. And I just want to pause here. If you've never come to Christ, if you've never embraced the Savior, let me tell you why you haven't. There's a couple reasons. One, you don't want your life to change. I like my sin. I get it. Second reason, pride of life. I'm a pretty good person. The Lord owes it to me to get in. Third reason, it's not popular. We have a problem today. This whole thinking that just go with your heart and go with your feelings and live life the way you want it is overwhelming mankind. It's overwhelming our young people. It's all over and everyone's getting sucked into the vortex. You want to find someone in your life who's swimming in the opposite direction, who's going somewhere else. You want to find someone in your life who's being loyal to Christ. Find out what their secret is. They'll tell you. When I was a young kid, when I was in my 60s, I took a ride with someone to the airport a few years ago. He came to the chapel a couple times. At 74, he came to know Christ as his Savior and was born again. My goodness. You need to find that life that's found in Christ. I want to read a couple more things about things that are kind of, we're going aimlessly right now, sorry. Things that are unseen, things that are unnoticed. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. There's a lot of people who give God low marks because they feel like they've been forgotten. well, you've gone to the wrong grader. You're listening to the fake news, pardon the pun there, right? I respect those who are loyal Democrats and those who are loyal Republicans in this church. We fellowship together. Praise God for that, okay? But there's fake news concerning Christ out there. There is fake news, and you got to be careful. Look at what the Lord says about how carefully He watches your life. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, be careful. Do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees your life, is seen. That's a great thing. Don't be scared of that. It's a great thing. Your life is noticed by the Lord of this universe. In fact, the Bible teaches that on the cross of Calvary, He personally bore your sin. Not just sin in general, your sin in His own body on the tree and willingly did that so that you might have eternal life. He has done everything He can to see your life and to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your Father, who sees in secret what is done, will reward you openly. There's another story here that I lost the reference here. The disciples, early on in the Lord's ministry, He empowers them with the Holy Spirit. And they go out and they teach in the Lord's name, and they heal the sick, and some of the unclean spirits come out against them, and they empower them. And the disciples are so excited, and they come running back to the Lord after what seems to me to be like weeks of ministry as they went out two by two. And they said, "Oh, this is awesome! The demons are subject to us, and we're able to heal the sick, and we're able to teach." And the Lord pulls them aside, and He doesn't rebuke them for that. Look at what we did! Yes! Yeah. But the Lord does say, be glad, but more importantly, be glad that your names are written in heaven. There are people that we know who will be outside of heaven, not we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons. Your names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You never claimed righteousness. You claimed your ability to tap into my Holy Spirit and do these things. And look at how pious I am and look at how holy I am. People who come into heaven are people who are saying, I'm saved because of Christ alone. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my redemption. Nothing for me. It's all of Him. I have given my life totally to Him. Amen. Young people, I am telling you, it is freeing. Yes. Mark Twain once said, two most important days in your life, the day that you were born and the day that you find out why you were born. Amen. You know why you were born? You were born to find Christ and to serve Him. Mm-hmm. We just found out the second most important day of your life. Poor Mark Twain. We're not here to preach Mark Twain. What a freeing thing. Mm-hmm. To find out that it's the Lord's righteousness. And yeah, I try to live a sinless life, and I try to do the best I can, but I know that my righteousness is basically probably all, well, like Isaiah says, or Jeremiah, I think it is, filthy rags. But I've got the righteousness of Christ. It's His gift to me, and it's an eternal gift, and I have eternal life, and it can never be taken from me. And now, I live life, well, there are lots of things, but one thing we can be really good about, let's tell as many people as possible.
Amen.
To receive that gift. That's why you were born. If you're looking for direction in your life, right out of the scriptures. There it is. Stop playing games. Let's get on with what it means to live for Christ. As I aimlessly wander here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. We'll just look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for him, things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. There was another portion in Corinthians I wanted to read where it would say that, and everyone will have praise before God. It's talking about bringing wood, hay, and precious stones or silver or gold before the Lord. And the wood and hay is burned up. That's parts of our lives where we live for ourselves. We live for our beauty. We live for our attention. We live for our own enjoyment. And then there's the precious stones, the gold and the silver that is not going to be burned up. And it was all because those are the parts of our life where we live for Christ. We live for Christ. And God tests our motives. And boy, I feel like a lot of my life is going to be all burned up. And a lot of things I've done that just count for nothing. Did not count for Christ. But there's a promise there that every man will have praise of God. That's for the believer. That's for a name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, your fate is sealed. It is an eternity in hell. But the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be saved and they're going to be delivered. So, this man, Nathan, born of David, did he even know how important his life was? Probably not. It was all about Solomon. It was all about other David's brothers, this guy, little Ben, this guy, Nathan. You know? And he was the key to the whole thing. Did you realize how important your life is? God values the life. The world wants you to belittle it. God says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. And it starts first by claiming Christ's righteousness as your own and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're out of time here. The secrets of Christmas. This cloaking of lies, this feeling of being unnoticed and unknown, the Lord knows. Such was his life, his birth. The Lord sees. Have you claimed his righteousness? We're going to close with a song here. One of the verses of the songs goes like this. How silently the wondrous gift was given. So, God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the fear of Christ can enter. Have you allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to enter your life? Let's sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and we are going to sing just 21.
Yes,
that's the tune. 21. Yes.
Of thy deep and free love.
biggest things that our churches have done that's so unfair. When you go into a church here in the United States, even a good, believing church in the United States, or even all over the world, they assume that you're a Christian. And they teach Christian things out of the Bible, solid, good Christian things, and they challenge you to live Christian lives. But they never tell you how to become a Christian. My mom and dad went to churches like that their whole lives. And it wasn't until they were in their 20s when they first heard that they had to give their lives to Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. At Kids Club and at Teen Time, we bring the kids to the point of a decision. You need to make a decision for Christ.
Amen.
And so my dad used to look at all these Christmas carols. There are people today in these churches feeling like they've done good deeds and singing and really enraptured with the things of singing these songs. And they think they're saved, but they've never given their lives to Christ and they're in darkness. Today, you've heard you need to come to Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. Old things are passed away.
Amen.
All things become. Don't let your pride and your stubbornness stay in the way of Christ. He's way more stubborn than you. He went to the cross to have your life. Have your life. Verse 2. For Christ is